Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Homeschool Dad Show. I am your host, Dan Luzonis, and I am talking all things education, all things parenting, and most of all, how you can unlock your kids' full potential. I'm taking your calls today at 866-606-8255. That's 866-606-8255. And I'd love to connect with you online through my website at homeschooldad.com. Today, I want to talk about how you can unlock the genius in your child. Now, this is a core, central idea to, you know, it's really the focus of my life now. I get up every day and I think about what I can do to help my children reach their full intellectual potential. And I do this for my kids, for the children of my clients, for my readers. This is literally all I think about. Again, it's the core or the center of everything I do now. And you might detect a little bit of passion in today's show, and that's a good thing. So when we talk about unlocking your child's genius, there are a couple of ideas that are, or a couple of assumptions implicit in that. First of all, that your child does have a genius hidden inside them. And two, that you as a parent can do something to, you know, bring it out, to summon out that little genie. So I'm going to take them one at a time. First, the idea that, you know, there is a genius within all of us. I think it was, I'm not sure who said it, but I want to read to you a quote that has a lot of, you know, inertia online, and it's been attributed to Albert Einstein. It goes like this. Everybody is a genius, but if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it will live its whole life believing that it is stupid. Now, again, it's attributed to Albert Einstein. I'm not sure if he said it, but what happens when you're as smart as Einstein and as accomplished as him, people start attributing all sorts of smart things to you, and this is a very smart statement. We do not want to judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree. And what that hints at, or what that basically asserts, is that we do all have a genius, and it's different from, you know, everyone else's genius. Your child may be good at math, they may be good at science, but they also may be good at designing clothing. They may be a genius socially. And there are people out there, and Bill Clinton comes to mind, but I know a few other people, who have made their whole careers, lucrative careers, based on their ability to connect with and relate to other people. I mean, there is an art and a science to socialization. And your child might not be able to hold a pencil, might not be able to derive the quadratic formula, but they may be able to read a room. They may be able to connect with people. And they may be a genius, you know, in that arena. So, you know, it almost goes without saying there are infinite ways that a child or any human being can be exceptional. And nothing makes me more angry when I hear the term gifted. And gifted is not to be confused with what I'm talking about here, which is an inner genius. Gifted is this label that parents, probably upper middle class parents, give to their children. I don't know why, because it makes them feel special. And if their kid is gifted, what about other kids? Are they not gifted? Again, I believe that all children have gifts. They have talents. And, you know, the common core is not going to bring these talents out. Minecraft and television are not going to bring your child's passions to the surface. They're not going to animate their lives. They're not game changers. In fact, they might do the complete opposite. They might hold your children back. But let's get into the second half of this presumption that not only is your child a genius, but that you as a parent hold the key and have the capacity in myriad ways. Well, let's not use the word myriad. Let's say in a million different ways you can unlock your child's full intellectual potential. You can find that genius within them. And this should be an exciting reality. This should not be like so many of the phone calls I get these days. In fact, I just got an email before the show from yet another family, and the tone of all these parents that reach out to me who want to accelerate their kids, who want to pull their kids outside of the school system, the tone is nothing short of, like a funeral procession, like somebody died. Like your child is not achieving to their max, and we have to pull them out of school. We have to, hire, a math teacher to work with them on weekends, or a piano teacher, or do some take some measures extracurricular to the school system. And the tone is one of sadness. Let me just tell you that when your child starts to grow, when they start to, really take off, it is going to fully animate you and them, and it's an occasion for extreme joy. It's an opportunity and a privilege for each parent to unlock their kid's full potential. And I want you to remember that. I want you to grab the bull by the horns and put on your happy hat, because this is huge. This is something to look forward to. Now, again, about the genius myths. I don't like the term gifted. And there are a couple of other misconceptions about genius, as we use the term generically, that I want to clear up. First of all, there are no shortcuts. Nobody is born a genius that's fully, manifested. The genius has to come out, and it has to come out through, a variety of vehicles and through a variety of tactics, and it's going to take time. If you said Albert Einstein, if you said you were just born a genius, he'd probably, if he was a violent guy, he might slap you in the face. And if you told Tiger Woods that he was just born talented, if you just dismissed all the hours that he put into hitting a golf ball and all the time he spent on the practice range, on the putting green, and if you just dismissed all the time his father spent with him since he was, 1 year old, he had a golf club in Tiger's hand when he was one. If you just said, "Hey, you know what, Tiger, you're just born talented," they would get very angry. They would get indignant. And I get indignant too when people look at my kids who are, super accelerated in many areas and say, "Hey, they're just born that way." And I have people in my family, people who've witnessed the whole process. They know I've read 200 books on education. They know that I have my kids doing math on Christmas Eve. And they know that, I have rules in my house that nobody else has. All these things that I've done to unlock my kids' genius. And they still say, "Well, your kid's just gifted," or, "You're smart, so your kid's going to be born smart." No. There are so many Albert Einsteins out there who did not apply themselves, who decided to watch television, who decided that they wanted to sit around and watch, eat carbs and smoke pot and basically not apply themselves. I have met so many super intelligent people that have amounted to nothing. It's nothing short of a tragedy. And again, this rubs me, this chafes me to see potential underutilized. I have a good quote. It's from Jim Rohn, one of these self-help gurus. He said, "Potential underutilized leads to pain." And I couldn't agree more. When I look back on things that I could have done, I get pretty angry. When I look at all the time I've wasted personally, and I don't want my kids to have to look back in middle age and say, "I wish I could go back in time." And if you don't try to unlock your kids' genius, if you just take a hands-off, maybe Common Core will unlock my kids' genius, maybe college will, or maybe after they stumble around out there, they will hit their stride. If you take this hands-off approach, I really believe you're playing with fire. This is too serious of an issue. It should be your every moment, every day focus. It should be the long-term prosperity, happiness, and health of your children. And if you just, again, take this soft approach, there really is no middle class. Everyone else is out there working against you and your kids. The neighbors are bad influences. There's bad images in the media. Institutions are out there looking to exploit your children with propaganda and take their money and take their time and all these things. This is why you have to be proactive as a parent And again, this is an exciting thing to do. In the next segment, I'm going to get much more specific on what you should do, but I wanted to, get the mindset out there first that this is an opportunity and it's within your capacity to do amazing things with your kids. You're listening to the Homeschool Dad Show. I'm Dan Lozonis. I'll be back in just a minute. Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Homeschool Dad Show. I'm your host, Dan Lozonis, and I'm talking all things education, all things parenting, and most of all, how you can unlock your kids' full potential. I'm taking your calls today at 866-606-8255, and connect with me online through my website at homeschooldad.com. Today's show, it's going to be all about you unlocking your kids, your sons, your daughters' genius. Finding out what they're great at and surgically removing it from them, bringing it to the surface. Now, at the end of the last segment, I was trying to emphasize the point that this is an exciting thing to do. Let me tell you what happened about 2 weeks ago. One of the proudest moments of my life as a parent, probably of my life overall, my son played in the New York City Scholastic Chess Championships, and he won his division. He beat about 75 other kids, and he did so in dominating fashion. He won every single game. He even beat a kid who tried to cheat against him, and he had to do a 5-minute blitz, speed playoff with one other child who was undefeated, and he just wiped the floor with him again. I was not allowed to watch the games because they can't have chess dads and chess moms hovering over boards. But I saw the notation. I went through his games with him afterwards. I mean, he really did. He was never losing in a single game, and this is basically the biggest Scholastic chess tournament there is. New York is the chess center of the universe. And like I said a minute ago, this was the proudest moment of my life. He has this monstrous trophy. And I can just tell you that there are a lot of parents in there that would have loved to be walking out carrying their kid's trophy like I was. But this didn't happen overnight. I tried many, many different tactics to get him to become a good chess player. There was tears, there was frustration, many, many hours put into this. But the result is something that he'll have for the rest of his life and that I'll have for the rest of my life as well. I mean, this is a huge, huge chess tournament. And so this is what I want to kind of tell you is out there for your kid. When they start this business and they just take off, when they get up and play the piano in front of, a few hundred people and knock everyone's socks off, or when they do something, really outstanding because you enabled it, because you said, you know what, I believe in my kids. I'm excited about this responsibility and this privilege I have. And you know what? I don't care what everybody else does. I'm going to do my own thing with my own kids today. All right, we have a caller on the line. Hi, Dean. Welcome to the Homeschool Dad Show, and how can I help you today?
Oh, hey. I don't know. I just felt like the thing you're talking about, like the gifted thing, when you, I think everyone in the world has, like, a thing that they are particularly better at than other people, or, like, a thing that they're naturally skilled at.
Good, we're on the same page.
Yeah, not everyone knows what it is, though. That's the skill, is being able to find it.
Okay, and what do you think you need to be able to find that passion?
And open, like, you gotta be open with stuff. You gotta try new things. If you, the more you try things, the more you find out what you're good at, what you're bad at.
Okay, and
Because
what do you need to try things? I'm going to dive deep on this because this is a good question. This gets into the recipe and action steps for parents. What do you need before you can start trying things?
well, a fun-loving personality, that's one. Confidence. Like for me, I'm a stand-up comedian, and people say it takes a lot to do that. To me, it wasn't a lot. It was just like the want. But for majority, for like just in general, for a person to try something, I don't know. I think you just gotta be open to stuff.
Well, let me make a suggestion. I think before you can experiment and be open-minded, you can be as open-minded and experimental as to the nth. What if you don't have free time?
Oh, well, that's true. You do need the time. Well, I guess you gotta make time.
Did you have a lot of free time when you were in high school?
Too much free time.
Really? You weren't inundated with homework?
No, I was not. Which probably should have been.
And what did you
At
do
the
with that free
time,
time? Did you squander it?
I don't think so. I think, well, originally I wanted to be a musician, so I worked a lot of time with my band, but that's when I realized I wanted to be a comedian and an actor. So you kind of
One
have to,
thing came out of another.
exactly, so if I didn't do those things, I wouldn't be doing the things I'm doing now. And I think what I'm doing now is not a waste of time. But yeah, definitely not influencing anybody to not do homework and stuff.
Well, I work with a lot of Tiger Mom kids from Queens, a lot of Asian kids, and they don't have a free minute. I have kids who students who unbelievable piano players, but haven't had they had to give it up because of homework. And I have people at the other end of the spectrum too who are homeschooled and have tons of free time, but they spend it playing Minecraft. They squander it. I don't want to say spend. I'll say the much stronger verb. They squander it playing Minecraft. So, you do have to be open-minded. You have to be experimental. But it's a willing to experiment. But there's a lot of other things that need to ha take place. Now, Dean, let me ask you a question. What's next for you?
Well, what's next for me? Well, see, I do a lot of things a lot of the time. I'm still doing comedy. I still do my shows. I actually have a show in February 12th, like on 46th, and I'm just trying to be an actor. Like that's comedy is a big thing for me. I want to be as good a comedian as Louis C.K. or Chris Rock, but I don't want to be a comedy actor. I want to be an actor as good as James Dean or, those are two different ambitions. That's what I'm
Now,
working
let
on
me ask you a
now.
question. If you started when you were younger, if you started as a 10-year-old comedian or an
Oh.
8-year-old comedian, where would you be
Oh my
today?
God. I think I'd be in an amazing place if I had started. I really wish I could go back in time with the mindset I have now as an 8-year-old. By the time I was 20, which is what I am now, I would already be way more successful.
Hey Dean, I want to thank you. That's a great call. We had a great conversation. Call back anytime. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you.
Yeah, now Dean wishes he started earlier, and I think that is a core idea. Tiger Woods just started golf earlier. He started when he was one. Mozart started playing and performing and composing when he was 3, 4, 5 years old. So much of success is not inborn talent. It's just getting more hours in. Only parents can facilitate that. You're listening to the Homeschool Dad Show. I'm Dan Lozonis. I'll be back in just a minute. Hi, everybody. And welcome back to the Homeschool Dad Show. I'm your host, Dan Luzonis, and I'm talking all things education, all things parenting, and most of all, how you can unlock your kids' full potential. I'm taking your calls today at 866-606-8255, and connect with me online through my website at homeschooldad.com. Today's show is all about unlocking your child's inner genius. What you can do, basically, to change the trajectory of your child's life. And what, if you don't do, will also shape or flatten the trajectory of your kid's life. Now, in the last segment, we got into a little bit of the generalized tactics, and one of my mantras is all about starting early. I believe the children who start early, whether it's with math, with the piano, whether it's with public speaking or art, whatever it is, the earlier you start, the better or the steeper their trajectory. And the reason you want to start early is because, you know, it's very hard to get a kid to go up on stage for the first time and speak when they're 16 or 17 years old. But when they're 6, 7 years old, they're, you know, they don't care. It's very hard to get a child's creative muscles flexing when they're older. But when they're younger, you know, kids throw up finger painting, artwork, and without any sense of self-consciousness. And as I talk about artwork, I want to just briefly discuss creativity, because creativity is something that is not cultivated in schools one bit. The number one TED Talk online is by Ken Robinson. It's the number one TED Talk. It's got millions upon millions of views. Is how schools kill creativity. And I think if you want to unlock your kid's genius, you are going to have to somehow give them a creative outlet in art, music, or writing. You need to exercise that more free-flowing part of their brain. And it's good to start when they're young and to just continue to build upon that. And the other major tactic, of course, when it comes to unlocking genius is creating a house, a book-centric house, and creating bibliophiles and making reading basically a constant daily ritual in your family. All right, we have a caller on the line. I want to welcome Jacob to the show. Hi, Jacob. Welcome to the show, and how can I help you today?
Oh, I agree with what you're saying. Yeah, start them early. A lot of people don't do that because they think a kid is just too young to understand. But
hey, Jacob, have you ever heard anybody say, don't teach your kid to read because they'll be bored in kindergarten? Have you ever heard that?
No, I haven't heard that.
I've heard it about 10 times now. It's unbelievable. Don't teach your kid to read because they'll be bored in kindergarten.
Yeah, start them early, like you said. Also, I'd say, you know, watch what you say around your children, because they learn from you in every way, you know.
Absolutely.
You're also their book to read. They read everything about you. They're very interested in you.
Hey, Jacob, what do you think a parent who plays Powerball every week teaches his kids implicitly?
I'd say somebody that does that is basically giving their kid some kind of dead end when it comes to their money.
Well, they're also teaching them that wealth is something you luck into. Right?
Well, yeah, but I don't believe in that.
Right.
Because you're just leaving it to random, you know, ideas, you know, random things that you're not, there's no planning. The only planning is I'm going to sit down and watch this and see if I'm going to win, you know. There's no other planning involved except that you're going to spend money. That's what that does.
And, you know, it goes back into what I said in the first segment about giftedness. And people look at Oprah Winfrey and they say she's lucky. or Bill Gates. So he was lucky. He went to this school. He was born rich. And if you start pointing to everyone who's successful and thinking they hit life's lottery, then that kind of gives you an excuse to not work hard, does it not?
I think it's bad. I agree. I think that's bad parenting. My dad told me never touch the lottery, and I haven't. And there's plenty of reasons why not to, but we're talking about kids, and that's just the wrong way of doing things.
Well, like you
But there's
said, the parents are the primary educator. They teach by example. I mean, if the parents tailgate when the kids get in the car, they'll think that, yeah, normally you drive 3 feet behind the car in front of you, and that's not a dangerous thing. And there's, I like to say that there are a million ways we can teach our children. There's no shortage of ideas, no shortage of opportunities. And I forget who said it, but maybe it was Einstein. He said, example is not just another way to teach; it's the only way to teach. And I think that that's your money quote for today.
yeah. Another thing I'd say is be patient with them. Go slow. Don't try to just pile them up, but go slow. They'll understand. I mean, don't just, try to, just slam them with so much information,
Well, I think the word you're invoking is overschedule. But getting back to the pace, the slowness, if you start early, you have the luxury of being able to experiment and being able to go and try different tactics, different approaches. And this is kind of how I was with my son in chess. He could be a lot better than he is now. We could put a lot more time into it, but I didn't want to ruin him for the game. Just like golf, almost everyone I know who started golf as a young kid quit as a teenager. I mean, I'm talking about like 96% of the people I knew who played golf when they were 8, 9 years old quit as a teenager because it's a tough game. And it is important not just to expose them to golf or just to expose them to chess, but how, the pace that you set, the incentives, and whether or not you beat them if they lose a match or something like that. How you handle the losses. Hey, Jacob, always good to talk to you. Thanks for calling. We'll catch you again sometime.
Yes, you too. Yes, you too. Thank you. Bye.
All right. So, I mean, there are many, many tactics. Like I said, there's a million tactics. There's a few core ideas that are important to keep in your head. One of them is just to be different. I mean, if you want to raise 1% kids, and that's what we're talking about when we're talking about exemplary, exceptional, stand above the crowd, genius type kids. If you want to raise 1% kids, you have to do 1% things. And probably, just for example, if everyone else is watching TV, maybe you should be the one person that doesn't, have a TV in your house. Maybe you should be the 1% that doesn't give your kid, a cell phone. Maybe you should be the 1% who says, you know what, soccer's going to a travel schedule. It's 4 days a week. It's going to cut into family time on the weekend. Even though my kid loves soccer, we're going to say no. You know what? Because lo in the long run, this is going to crowd out all sorts of free time. Again, overscheduling, free time. There's so many core concepts to keep, to keep in mind and to not overlook because. Even our first caller, Dean, we started talking about free time. You have to protect free time so that your children actually have a chance to find their passions and have a chance to start, chipping away at those passions and getting some or generating some momentum. And, as they do this, one thing like for Dean is acting led to comedy. Or comedy led to acting. I forget what it was for him. But one thing will lead to another, to another, to another. For me, I started working with my own son, which led me to teaching math to genius type kids, which has opened up the whole world of homeschooling. for me. And who knows what is next? But this is why it's important to be working and to be taking on life proactively. You can't just sit back and let your child be raised by accident. I would encourage you to be intentional about it. If you're listening to the Homeschool Dad Show, I'm Dan Lozonis. I'll be back in just a minute. No dark sarcasm in the classroom. Teacher, leave them. Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Homeschool Dad Show. I'm your host, Dan Lozonis. I'm talking all things education, all things parenting, and most of all, how you can unlock your kids' full potential. I've been taking your calls at 866-606-8255, and check out my website online at homeschooldad.com. Today, this show has been all about how you, the parent, the primary educator, how you can unlock your kids' full potential. And we, you know, we talked a little bit about some of the basic tactics, starting early and making sure your child has free time. But whenever we get deep into this conversation with parents who are ready to, you know, pull their kids out of school because they see that's the only way that they can give their kids free time, that's the only way that they can focus on creativity and travel and all these other elements that are missing from a standardized institutional education, the question becomes, what is it going to look like? You know, what does it look like on a daily basis in high definition, this customized education, this unlocking of all the potential? Because it really sounds like a cliche. You see it in business and fitness and all sorts of marketing. I really wish everyone else would stop using it. I'm the one this is my core message. I mean, what could be more important or more profound than the unlocking human potential? And what could be more important than launching children into the stratosphere? But it's hard for people to visualize. And so today what I did was I quickly wrote down, I itemized the things that were in a couple of the rooms of my house. And I just want to read them to you so you can get a sense of what a house devoted to unlocking potential looks like. And if you were to look in my kitchen today, you'd see an iPad, which my daughter uses for a lot of reading and a lot of music. And she has lyrics printed out. She's always printing out lyrics and guitar chords. You'd see my journal on the kitchen table where I write down what I'm going to do each day, my goals and my schedule. In the living room, you would see that massive chess trophy that my son won 2 weeks ago that I was telling you about. That thing is just a joy to look at. You'd see my daughter's zoology text and workbook. You'd see several maps of Manhattan, including a cool 3D model. My kids are learning all about local geography. What could be more important than local geography? And they love it too. There are 7 books on my living room table that the kids are reading. One of them is the whole Narnia collection. There are markers, there's artwork, there's Spirograph, which is this toy from back when we were kids, which still sells and is good for teaching kids manual dexterity. There's a deck of cards. I've been teaching my kids how to play hearts. And next to the dining room table, there's a crock pot. We are making our own sauerkraut. We chopped up cabbage and put it in there, and we're watching the fermentation process. That's just in my dining room. In the living room, you'd see my daughter's guitar and a music stand. You'd see 11 more library books, and you'd see board games. And I think we have 4 board games lying on the floor in there. And if you were to go into the den, you'd see my pull-up bar. I have the kids doing pull-ups every day. I do them every day. There's a piano keyboard. There's a whole wall of bookshelving that's jam-packed. The books are just overflowing. We have a serious problem with books. Too many of them. Don't give me any books. When I'm done with it, I will get rid of it. We are swimming in books. And we also have in our den, we have a chess table that's set up and a yoga mat on the floor. And there are two Kindles there. We have three computers in our den side by side. I work next to my kids. We don't use laptops that much. I like to be able to see what they're doing. And I'm a big believer in desktops over laptops. And one of the computers is actually pretty souped up. Double monitors, webcams, fancy microphones, and my son uses the entire Adobe Creative Cloud that I spend $50 a month for so that he can teach himself all these marketable skills. And he absolutely loves it. He'll sit there all day and simulate explosions on After Effects and Photoshop. And he just made a video of him shooting a Nerf gun that makes it look like he's shooting like a flamethrower. He did this all on his own, all with YouTube. This is what goes on in our den. And there are absolutely no televisions in my kitchen, den, and living room. There's really no televisions in the house. And this is just three rooms of my house. I'm not even talking about their bedrooms or our attic that is filled with, not only a million Legos, but all sorts of other elaborate building sets. And I'm not even talking about all the books that are in the back seat of our cars or all the classes that we take or any of all that stuff. But this, I'm trying to paint the picture of what a house devoted towards learning looks like, because this question, it just challenges the imagination. And I have to be honest with you, before I started doing this, if you threw the word homeschooling at me, all I could envision was someone standing at a chalkboard at a kitchen table and kids, with their ankles chained to the kitchen chairs. And just, it wouldn't be anything like what it's turned out to be. So this is why I try to paint the picture. This is why I make YouTube videos of walkthroughs of my house. And I didn't even t I just gave you the upstairs of our house. Our downstairs is completely remodeled, wired with desks and tables for internet, has more bookshelves. The kids have their own workstations. And we have a standing desk that they can use and that I can use. I mean, this is what, a house that's devoted to unlocking potential will look like. And you know what? I have a client who's taken me one step up. He actually bought a house down the street from him, and he's cre making that whole house a school. And he's creating a robot room, and he's building bookshelves. And I mean, it's just, he's creating his own school. He's creating an environment that's going to systematically and basically perpetually nurture his children's intellect. And he's done this. He's removed the Minecraft, he's removed the video games, he's removed the television, and he's removed the group instruction. And he's giving his children freedom. And when I say that this has an almost instantaneous or it generates an almost instantaneous success, I mean, it really does. This is powerful stuff we're talking about. And I try to convey to people the difference between where their kids are operating at and what their full potential is. That gap is what they need to work on. I'll talk to you next week. Thanks for listening to the Homeschool Dad Show.
The opinions you hear on Lifestyle Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Lifestyle Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Lifestyle Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Lifestyle Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at lifestyletalkradio.com.